Broadcasting, the voice of America.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the January 5th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's begin with African boxing. The sport is helping children in Nairobi relieve feelings of anger and stress, with a Kenyan lawyer proving to be a mentor in and out of the ring. Joining us now with more details is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny, and Happy New Year, sports fans. Young people who live in some of Nairobi's poorest neighborhoods are learning how to overcome life's challenges, and they're doing it with the help of Shadrack Wambui, a Kenyan lawyer who has combined his knowledge of the law with his love for boxing. And he tells Reuters News his two passions are a natural fit.
I find it very easy combining being a boxer and being a lawyer, because on one field, on one end, I fight for people's causes, I fight for people's lives, I fight for people's livelihoods, I fight for people's inheritance, I fight for people's lives. Literally speaking, when you are representing people who, upon conviction, might get a sentence of up to death, so you realize that you're fighting for people's lives.
Wambui knows what it's like to literally fight for his life. The 29-year-old grew up poor in Mathare and used boxing to help release his frustrations over police brutality and abuse. And Wambui says the sport helped him avoid confrontation and become a more disciplined student.
Through the hands of the police officers, we lost livelihoods, and we also lost loved ones. So I grew up knowing that I wanted to become a police officer. But really, the idea of becoming a lawyer, I learned of it in class 8 and class 7. That there was this profession known as the legal practitioners or the legal profession, that if you enrolled in it, it will help you in championing your course. So that is how I now embarked on my journey to becoming an advocate.
In 2018, Wambui was admitted to the Kenyan bar, and since then, he has convinced 50 more young lawyers to volunteer their time to help kids learn not only boxing techniques, but also their basic rights as a citizen. And Wambui says that 1-2 combination was the same foundation for one of the world's greatest human rights leaders.
It will be remembered that Nelson Madiba Mandela, Rohilala, was also a boxer and a lawyer. So really, being a boxer is about fighting. Being a lawyer is about fighting. So the causes, they're the ones that differ. But both the martial art and the profession require some sense of commitment. They require an inner drive and you must have that inner encouragement. You must encourage yourself.
According to a Reuters investigation published in 2018, police bribery and more serious offenses like assault and murder are common in poor Nairobi districts, and the victims almost never get justice. Wambui hopes his boxing sessions will help young people learn to believe in themselves despite the challenges they face. Last year, other trainers in Mathare used the sport of boxing to offer hope to school children during the coronavirus lockdown. In March 2020, the Kenyan government ordered the shutdown of schools nationwide to help prevent the spread of COVID-19. For months, school children were forced to find a much-needed outlet. So dozens of kids walked through the doors of the Mathare North Boxing Club, where trainers offer lessons to children who would otherwise be stuck indoors. And assistant boxing coach John Kimani tells Reuters the kids learn about more than just the sport. Kimani says since the passing of the club's founder, Trainers have taken over the gym and given back to the community free of charge. He says kids don't come to the boxing club to just learn the sport. They learn life lessons as well. The club was established in 1985, and before John Kimani became an assistant coach, he was one of several professional boxers who trained at the gym. Now, Kenyan Vanessa Wanjira trains there, and the 14-year-old says she has big dreams of one day becoming a champion.
I train because I want to be a champion, and instead of staying in the slums, I come here and start training with my colleagues here in the gym. And I prefer training than fighting in the slums with those girls who can lead me to bad ways.
Andrew Odhiambo has boxed since he was 8 years old. Now 18, he says he wants to use the sport to help him give back to his community. Odhiambo says he knows everything about boxing and he wants to help his peers. And with more students coming in than trainers can handle, he comes in to help. He says when a coach is not in, he takes over training sessions so students won't miss a class. The gym has seen more and more neighboring kids coming in to train during the global pandemic, and the club is adhering to all social distancing and hygiene guidelines to fight the virus. Head coach Bernard Marui says he hopes the boxing program will help kids stay busy and out of trouble. And with training at such a high demand, Mathare North Boxing Club could be grooming the next Kenyan champion. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Now let's go to Kampala, where a former Ugandan prize fighter is training young boys and girls to box in his local neighborhood. Despite the coronavirus pandemic, Warren Subuga is using a backyard compound donated by well-wishers. And parents in the neighborhood are applauding Subuga's guidance. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, let's listen in again to a feature by Magume Davis Rakawinge in Kampala.
A group of young boxers, both male and female, gather in the compound of Nalong Sisi Nachimbugwe, a community leader in the Kampala suburb of Bukesa. The youngest boxer is 4-year-old Hosea Williams Chitandwe, Papa. His mother, 23-year-old Majorine Nakabuye, says she has been inspired by other young boxers, including her son. In fact, Nakabuye says she joined Bukesa Boxing Gym with the purpose of gaining fitness, but her love for boxing grew with the time. She says his glad turned out well, not only for her, but for her son, whom she believes will become a professional boxer one day.
It became a habit. You never know. I'm hoping that one day I also go for boxing, or I get a medal, or I become a champion. You never know. Because now I love boxing. By the his age, people are so amazed with him, because his brain is very sharp. Whatever they do here, he's always here helping other people. And when he's out there after the practice, he always keeps on practicing by himself. Whenever he doesn't have the pads, he gets the shoe, he gives you, mommy, jab, jab.
17-year-old Regan Magumba fights in the lightweight class and is another young boxer with big dreams. He says joining this boxing gym has helped him become a better person.
When I'm here, you can't say that Magumba is a thief. He's a thief when you are seeing me here, okay? It keeps me, like, not in groups, but only with good people like Coach Wallen. Because many friends, I've seen many friends of mine, they are like, they take alcohol, marijuana, like that thing, they lose their brain. For me, if I keep on training, everyone who is willing to be on a national team. Yeah, I'm willing to be on a national team. I want to be a professional boxer.
One of Magumba's new friends here is 13-year-old Noha Muse, and Champion Rufik to join this club 3 years ago. Just like other young boxers, Muse has dreams of representing his country of birth and becoming a world champion. Muse says he's inspired by world-renowned American boxing champion Floyd Mayweather.
I see him in TV, inspiring. Then I started saying that, let me become fast as Mayweather. That's why coach started giving me the shadow weights and I started throwing there. The way I shadow box, the way I throw my punches, I'm seeing that I'm at least becoming a bit good in it. So I would like to be a professional boxer and a champion.
The gym was started by Warren Nsubuga, whose dreams to represent Uganda were cut short when he went through a major surgery and was advised by doctors to quit boxing. He says he couldn't let go of the sport he loved so much. In 2012, he started training as a coach so he could inspire those who share with him the passion for boxing.
I'm not one to brag around, but I feel proud of myself and what I've managed to do. And it's always nice having these kids come around. Some people come from very, very poor backgrounds. And at least they come here. Boxing kind of relaxes their mind. Most of the times we have a meal here at least once a week, because I'm the one to provide. My job only earns me $2, but I find a way of squeezing it, and then at least we get to be together and share the love through boxing.
He says some of his boxers have already joined the professional ranks, and he hopes they'll be called to represent Uganda sometime soon. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
Hello, listeners. This is Hussein Khalil from Uganda. I'm a gold medalist in Commonwealth Games 1982 in Brisbane, Australia. Listen to the Sine Side of Sports on Voice of America.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
The Executive Committee of the International Table Tennis Federation has reappointed Nigeria's Waheed Ashodi as the chairman of its nomination committee for another term. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, Ashodi said he's worked to diversify the federation's leadership, including bringing more women to top positions.
Well, on being reappointed as chairman of the nominations committee, I think the first thing is to say a big thank you to the executive committee, because this is an acknowledgement of the work the committee has done over the last 2 years. I've had the pleasure of working with some great people, of most of whom I've also been reappointed, and hopefully we will be able to take bigger steps forward. I think we did a lot with regards to issues of bringing female qualified personnel into the committees of the ITTF. You know, this is very important, in especially with issues of diversity, inclusiveness now being, you know, at the top of all international sports organizations. It's important that everybody feels a part of the organization, and I think we've managed to do that by bringing different people on board. But of course, over the next 2 years, you know, I think we can do a lot more in that direction, and this gives us a chance to continue developing, you know, capacity in the ITTF.
In your capacity as the chairman of the nomination committee, what will Nigeria and Africa gain?
You know, I think in my capacity, with special regards to Nigeria and Africa, I mean, it's important that we also realize that the committee is there to serve the whole of the ITTF. But of course, this gives us the added advantage of being able to bring the ideas of the ITTF closer to our people in Africa, our people in my own country, in Nigeria, ensure that we get the best qualified people, passionate people, people who are really passionate about table tennis, into the committees of the ITTF to work with the management team and the executive committee to support them and bring their own ideas on board so we can do this. And this gives, the honest truth is that it gives us a chance to attract people, many of whom come from Africa, who do not know these opportunities lie there. And this is what we shall be doing. Hopefully, we'll be able to get some fantastic people that I've worked with in Africa. We'll be able to bring them up on board as well to work with the ITTF.
Do you think Nigeria has potential to produce a new Aruna Quadri and other professionals in table tennis?
You know, talking about Aruna Quadri, produce another Aruna Quadri, other professional Aruna Quadri, leading light for us in table tennis in Africa, not just only the physical side of the sport. It's also in terms of the humility he brings, the generosity he shares to younger players, up-and-coming players. That, I think, it's more important that we produce many more players like that. And I think we can. We have the talent. Presently in Nigeria, you have the greatest, I think this is the greatest number of extremely talented young players we have. So it's hopefully the Nigerian Federation can find the funding to continue to develop these players. And I think, you know, going forward, if we can do that, this will be, in another 3-4 years, we'll have the strongest national team Nigeria has ever had, because we have right now the most talented crop of players, especially in the male category. We still have a lot of work to do in the female, but in the male, with players like Okonlawo Usman, Taiwo Mati, and Sholanke all coming up, the ITTF has recognized the caliber of these young players, what they've done in international tournaments. Hopefully we'll be able to bring in top-notch coaching to assist them and develop them in future.
That's Waheed Ashodi, the chairman of the nomination committee of the International Table Tennis Federation. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from London. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
This is Jonathan McKinstry, the head coach of the Uganda Cranes national team. 2020 has been a challenging year for all of us, not only in Uganda and across Africa, but around the world, as we've had to come to terms with the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, with a vaccine being released across the globe, we can finally see light at the end of the tunnel. But it's important that whilst that vaccine is rolled out, that we all remain steadfast and alert and adopt the guidelines that are being given out by the Ministry of Health and our various health authorities to make sure that we keep each other safe and we keep ourselves safe until we can get rid of this pandemic. Good luck and good health to everybody.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Just ahead, Douglas Mpuga will have a package of Olympic news and African football news for us.
African Nations Championship Tournament, CHAN, kicks off on January 16th in Cameroon, but many are hoping that COVID-19 doesn't disrupt the tournament. Zimbabwe's final preparations have been dealt a blow after 9 of the 23-man squad tested positive for coronavirus just as the last leg of their camp began. The Warriors had taken a Christmas break and returned to camp on December 28th. The 9 players who tested positive have now been isolated from the rest of the squad until shortly before their departure for Cameroon. Zimbabwe are in Group A with hosts Cameroon, Burkina Faso, and Mali. They are scheduled to face the Indomitable Lions in the tournament opener on January 16th. Meanwhile, the Malawi Blantyre Derby has been called off because of COVID-19. The 67th Blantyre Derby for the 2020-2021 Malawian Super League was postponed due to a coronavirus outbreak in the camp of Nyasa Big Bullets Football Club. The defending champions Bullets and rivals B Forward Wanderers were set to meet on Saturday, January 2nd at Kamuzu Stadium, Blantyre. And Zambia's Chipolopolo made the early trip to Cameroon last week to take part in a four-nation pre-tournament friendly in Yaoundé as preparation for the African Nations Championship CHAN. A 27-member team that left last Wednesday will take part in the friendly tournament that involves fellow CHAN finalists Niger, Uganda, and host Cameroon before moving to their Group D base in Limbe, where they will face Tanzania on January 19th, Guinea on January 23rd, and Namibia on January 27th. Meanwhile, the second edition of the Sudan Women League kicked off last week with a limited supporters attendance. The opening game saw Hilal Al-Obeid defeating Mod Al-Obeid 7-0, while Ahli and Nogam Al-Salem had a 1-1 draw. The 2020-2021 season includes 23 teams divided into four groups in Khartoum, Obeid, Kadogli, and Wad Madani. In athletics, IAAF boss Sebastian Coe has reiterated that there's cast iron determination to stage the Tokyo Olympics.
I think the games will go off. I was in Tokyo, just as you know, just a month or so ago. Spent 48 very intensive hours there talking to the organising committee, all the government ministers responsible for delivering sections of the games, the mayor, the governor of Tokyo. There is a cast iron determination to stage the games. There is a recognition that we're still in uncertain territory. Yes, the vaccine will help, but I guess that for athletes in the village and maybe, you know, the process of warm-up track to call room, holding area, and then, you know, there are going to be some adaptations there. What, of course, nobody is clearly across at the moment is whether we're going to be able to, I sincerely hope so, but whether we're going to have a stadium populated by good, noisy, passionate fans. I guess there'll still be an element of social distancing. I suppose those are some of the things that are still up in the air. The athlete management in the village is something that I think the athletes are probably going to have to adapt to slightly.
Cole also called for athletes to take their place in the vaccine queue. He said healthy athletes should take their place in the COVID-19 vaccine queue behind people with more pressing needs.
Look, you know, we have to also be sensitive here. There are many claims on that priority. You know, we are all reliant upon, the vast majority of us are reliant upon, you know, well-structured and a delivery of healthcare at a state level. We are all dependent on our frontline workers and our emergency services, and we also recognise that there are vulnerable people in the community, and we want to make sure that we look after them as well as possible. All I'm saying is I'm not sure that it is for sport to be pressing the case for fit young people. I would like, on the other hand, that when the vaccine does become available and at the right moment the athletes have the opportunity to make use of it, that they do. But I'm not mandating it. I don't think that it's my job to tell people, you know, what they should or shouldn't do in terms of that area. I think there has to be some, you know, that has to be a very personal and individualistic view, and some athletes will take a view about, you know, the speed with which the vaccine has come together and all the things that the rest of the population are grappling with. I hope they do avail themselves of it. I certainly would if I had the opportunity in the lead up to a games like that.
Most athletes in their 20s and 30s would be just about last in line in most countries when it comes to the vaccine, but the pressure to create a COVID-safe environment at sports events has raised the question of whether they should be treated as a special case.
And thanks to Douglas and Puga for that spicy sports package.
I'm Kendra Harrison. I'm the 100 hurdle world record holder for Team USA. And you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bubu music to hip life, bonga flavor to sukus, Afrobeat to Ndumbulu and Makosa to Kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Thanks, David. That's David Vandy, the host of the VOA's African Beat music show. On the basketball beat, two of the NBA's biggest international stars, Giannis Antetokounmpo of the Milwaukee Bucks and Luka Doncic of the Dallas Mavericks, both had big games Monday night to lead their teams to victories. The AP's Dave Ferry reports.
Giannis Antetokounmpo delivered 43 points, and the Bucks moved over the 500 mark for the first time this season by topping the Pistons, 125-115. The reigning two-time MVP scored 30 points by halftime, shot 17 of 24 from the floor overall, and finished with 9 rebounds in Milwaukee's 8th straight win over Detroit.
The previous game, I've been finding my teammates for a lot of threes, finding the shooters. So, you know, come to this game, probably it was like, don't let him pick us apart with passing. So that's why there was a lot of space.
Chris Middleton scored 19 for the Bucks, who went ahead for good midway through the opening period and led by as many as 18. The Pistons fell to 1-6 despite 24 points apiece from Jeremy Grant and Derrick Rose. Detroit was without Blake Griffin and Josh Jackson due to injuries. Luka Doncic had a triple-double, and Tim Hardaway Jr. added 30 points off the bench in the Mavericks' win over the Rockets. Doncic contributed 33 points, 16 rebounds, and 11 assists one night after missing a game because of a bruised quad.
Ice is better, just a little game ready, some massages, and, you know, I'm ready to go, you know. It wasn't nothing very serious, but I was ready today. I think it's important, not a lot of times I'm going to get those many rebounds, but you see how we struggled in the first couple of games defensively, defensive rebounds. So, you know, everybody got to be in there and help rebound.
Hardaway supplied 7 points during a 14-3 spurt that gave Dallas a 14-point lead with about 2.5 minutes left. Christian Wood had 23 points to lead the Rockets.
I think today I got a little stagnant, of course. We did a lot of ball watching on the offensive end tonight. Before the previous games, we had ball. I think we only had 8 assists in the first half. You know, that's not the style of play that we want. We're going to look at film and get better next game.
I'm Dave Ferry.
Yo, yo, yo. Sporty greetings, man. I'm Evelyn Akato, forward for the Tigress Nigerian Women's National Team and Flams Carolo Basket. Bonjour, bonjour, my people. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
The Voice of America's global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 17:05 UTC on The Voice of America. Thanks, Steve. That's my Voice of America colleague, Steve Miller. More basketball news. The National Collegiate Athletic Association says its entire 2021 men's basketball tournament will be played in Indiana amid the coronavirus pandemic. The AP's Shelley Adler reports.
After being wiped out last year due to COVID-19, the NCAA has announced that all 67 men's basketball games, including the Final Four, will be played entirely in Indiana. There will be games on 2 courts inside Lucas Oil Stadium, but it'll be one contest at a time. There are other venues in the state that will be used as well, but most contests will be played in Indianapolis. No word yet on how many fans may be allowed inside the venues. I'm Shelley Adler.
And that wraps
Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.